Download it for your listening pleasure. This is the Tim and Jess podcast.
Jess, I've got Will from the newsroom to stick around for this because three minds better than two, right? Mm-hmm. And Will's brain's honestly worth a lot more than both of us combined. So
thank you.
I don't know this about both of you fully, but yes or no, do you both enjoy a hot cross bun?
I don't mind a hot cross bun. Yeah,
okay. Now, the only time we can get them, we have access to them, unless you make them yourselves, is between anywhere from Boxing Day to New Year's-ish until Easter every single year.
Yeah.
Which is not okay. We've discussed that. It should be an all-year-round thing.
They should be, available completely all year.
And I understand that like the whole fun is that you only have access to them in the lead-up to Easter and all those kind of things. Have you seen the price of a six-pack of hot cross buns?
Oh, God.
Have they gone up significantly? Well, I haven't bought any yet this year.
We're not going to say names of places.
Sure.
But I know, Will, you have history with one of these places.
A bakery?
Yeah.
Yep.
Why do you have history with bakeries?
Well, he was delighted to work there, but...
I used to be a baker boy.
Did you really?
I did.
$9.50.
Really?
Now, I don't remember them being that expensive.
For a six-pack?
For a six-pack.
I have vague memory of them being about $6.
to me it feels like a dollar a bun, feels
right to me.
Do you remember at the non-descriptive bakery that we just discussed, do you remember the prices when you used to work there?
I remember like the loaf of bread prices. And this is like 8 years ago, I reckon. And they've gone up, like they've more than doubled.
Really?
For a loaf of bread. This is just for white bread.
Wow.
Jeez. You know, I can't really remember the specific little items like your hot cross buns. What I will say is that you can pull a sneaky if you look hard enough during the year, is that some places make hot cross buns without the cross.
Oh.
And they just sell them as like fruit buns or...
Fruit buns are excellent.
That is clever.
So it really is a year-round thing.
People. We have had a lot of messages come through and trust us, we're hearing them. Raisin toast is essentially...
It's not the same though, is it?
It's a lot cheaper. Like the amount of bread you get in a loaf of raisin bread compared to a hot cross bun loaf of the six. Like you're getting more bang for your buck out of the raisin toast for sure.
But it's the same as like Easter eggs, for example. If you have an Easter egg in July, it's just not the same. Mm. Or like any other chocolate for that matter.
This is why we bring Will in, because he's making some excellent points.
Told you his brain's working better than ours. And again, if you want to call through on 5223295, I can't remember last year's prices, but $9.50 seems like a jump up. And I haven't investigated supermarket hot cross buns this year. Some were bought for me by a family member, but I didn't get to see a little bit later
in the show, because there are some new hot cross bun flavors coming to our shelves. Okay. But is there any of the new kind of, because I know
the
that
funky flavors,
you got your traditional like fruit hot cross bun, and
that's my OG.
Like, do you dabble in the other flavors
with chocolate? No, I don't. But I know there's
such
like
a snob.
There was like
there's a Vegemite one.
Yeah, there's a Vegemite. Yeah. Well, they're Cheesy Mite scrolls.
They did
they?
the special burger sauce ones last year.
Burger sauce.
I think they're back again this year.
Okay, all right. So this is what I mean. Like, so none of us really have any idea of what's happening right now. But we all have loose, vague thoughts
about it. It seems expensive, which is not surprising whatsoever.
Okay, all right. Well, Will, thank you very much. See, this is why I wanted Will to be in here. He worked at a very specific bakery that he was delighted about a couple of years ago. So that's knocked it out of the park. Thank you very much, Will, for sticking around. You can go back and continue to do the news.
This is Tim and Jess.
Gen Z, they're often telling us millennials that things we do are really daggy.
I think they tell most of the other generations, but I think you just take it the most personally.
It feels very targeted to us millennials, because things that we used to think were very cool and like trendy, they have decided are not cool anymore.
But you got to remember that this happens every time we get to this shift. So because millennials were making fun of Gen X and Gen Y and all that stuff. I know you're an uber millennial. And you know why they're doing it, Jess?
Well,
for the reaction.
Well, okay. So first of all, they were like, all right, high-waisted jeans and your skinny jeans, they're over. We're going back to low-waisted.
Baggy.
I was like, how dare you? Then they were like, hey, you can't have a side part anymore. Middle parts only.
Oh, right.
this is outrageous. Please stop.
Is that what you have right now?
I have a side part right now.
Okay.
So this is not cool. Then
again, Jess, we'll bring this up every time you get offended by this. You weren't cool. You were never cool. So it's like saying, it's not saying it's not cool now. I don't think it's ever been cool.
Then
you.
Gen Z came at us for our socks, and they said you can tell a millennial from how high their socks go up, because if they're wearing ankle socks, they're definitely a millennial.
Sure.
So I had to go out and buy all new socks, Tim. It's getting ridiculous.
You didn't have to. You chose to.
And now the head of style at The Iconic, which is a very trendy website. They sell a lot of fashion items.
Clothes, I believe, is what they call them in the game.
This is why. See, I'm very cool. The head of style at The Iconic has said crossbody bags are done.
Crossbody bags.
Crossbody bag. You know the bag that I use every single day, the black bag? It goes over your shoulder.
The Esche bag.
Not an Esche bag. It goes across your body.
The Esche bag.
Okay.
The one that you and your husband both have.
It's not an Esche bag.
Well, no, the one that you and your husband have. I agree. People that wear those bags like that, it's just not for
me. No, but that is a bum bag. That's not what I'm talking about. The crossbody bag is like a really long strap that you put over your shoulder and you wear it across your body.
Like an Esche bag.
Okay. You're upsetting me more than the Gen Z's.
Isn't it just like a handbag?
Yes. They call it a crossbody bag, right? And Gen Z apparently are opting for a shoulder bag. Whether it's a small shoulder bag or quite a large shoulder bag.
Very 2000s.
They are going with shoulders rather than cross the body. And I won't have it, Tim. They've taken too much from me. They can't take my own crossbody bags too.
Who do we need to speak to for you to move past these things?
I don't know. I feel like I need a Gen Z in my life.
No. When's your next session with your therapist? You don't need a Gen Z. You need to speak to Susan.
It's tomorrow. We have bigger fish to fry, trust me.
I don't know. Every 3 months, this seems to really get you going. And look, keep wearing it. Stick it to them. That's the whole thing.
I'm going to.
Stick it to demand.
Don't you worry. But I'm upset that they're coming for this now as well. Can't I have anything nice?
I'm going to play the song. I'm bored. I'm bored of this. We're going around in circles.
You're just bored of this because they never take anything away from you, Tim.
Because I've never said I'm cool either.
Jess and Tim. Oh, wait, sorry. It's Tim and Jess.
Look, it's been, 4 weeks since we've opened the courtroom of Tim and Jess.
Over a month.
And look, you and I haven't spent a lot of time together, so there's not been a lot of arguments as such.
No, but you've seen an argument online, you're claiming?
Yeah. Okay. This argument has divided the internet into one of two camps, and I think you're going to be very passionate about this.
Okay, well, this is the courtroom of Tim and Jess. We'll explain exactly how it works in a moment.
Tim and Jess.
You are about to enter the K-Rock courtroom of Tim and Jess. The cases are real. The stories aren't always important. The rulings are final. This is your courtroom. You be the judge.
Court is in session. The way this works, whether we're having an argument or we've seen one online, or we're just trying to get to the bottom of two sides of a story, the courtroom of Tim and Jess is a weekly space where we get that all sorted. The first person to call through, they are the judge. It becomes law across Geelong, Surf Coast and Bellarine, whatever they say.
They have the final say, Tim.
They do.
And I want to talk today about Weet-Bix. Are you a big fan of the cereal?
I don't eat it, but I make it for my son every morning.
Right, okay. Well, this is what I want to talk about, because apparently there's a right and a wrong way to make your Weet-Bix.
Yeah, I love Weet-Bix because, like, the challenge of how many do you do is an excellent marketing campaign to get people to be like, oh, well, if you eat six, I'll eat more Weet-Bix. And then Brett Lee, Australian fast bowler, was always like, oh, I do nine. You're like, geez, if I have 10 Weet-Bix, I'll be just like Brett Lee, Australian fast bowler. That was little me, at least.
And he must have needed a giant bowl for his Weet-Bix, Tim. But the question that everyone is asking is, do you put your Weet-Bix, like the bricks, do you put them vertical or flat?
In the bowl. How tall is your bowl if you're putting them in vertically?
Some people will put them in. So just imagine
you
yourself.
Need a mug for that.
Four vertical Weet-Bix, and they're laid out on their side like bricks.
Oh, I'm thinking like tower style.
No, not tower style.
Well, it depends. If you've got two,
yeah,
and they can lay down flat, that's fine. But if you've got four, they're not all going to lay down flat. Then you would have to do like a stacked domino probably situation.
Well, so some people are saying that they would put two down on the bowl flat and then another two on top flat.
Oh.
And so this is the debate, flat or vertical with your Weet-Bix. How do you make it for your son? Because you only do one.
No, he's on 2.5 at the moment. That's how many he do. and I actually, I put boiling water and milk and some like fruit and I mix it up and I put it in a bottle and he drinks it.
So it's like a porridge.
It's minced beyond bricks.
That is the secret third option, crushed option.
When I put them in the bowl, I actually break them in half to like little squares.
Right.
But I put them, they're flat down.
Flat.
So I'd have to say flat.
Someone has commented saying, I run my Weet-Bix vertically, which optimizes each Bix access to milk, this ensuring a more balanced texture across the dish. My wife, however, runs hers flat like a psycho.
But see, with Weet-Bix, you always need to take the milk with you to wherever you're at. Because when you pour it in initially, if you're pouring it halfway, by the time you get back to where you've got, it's absorbed into
it's
the brick.
It's soaked up. Right. I prefer my Bix to be a bit crunchy. I don't like a soggy Bix.
No milk.
Basically, I put as little milk as possible if I'm having Weet-Bix.
Okay.
But it's been many years since I've dabbled. On 5223295 though, we want a judge to have the final say on this. If you are passionate about Weet-Bix, we want to hear from you. Vertical or flat? How do you lay out your Weet-Bix?
Yeah, I'm intrigued by this because I do hear why vertical could work.
Right.
Good distribution of milk. Good access for that milk to get into the brick and go, hey, this is where I live now.
I should have told you about this yesterday. Maybe you could have tried it for breakfast this morning.
Well, we'll definitely be trying it tomorrow morning. But
if the judge allows, Tim. Sean from Grovedale, good afternoon, Your Honour.
Good afternoon.
Now, I've always wanted to ask this question seriously. Sean, with Weet-Bix, how many do you do?
Roughly five or six.
Okay. Every day, Sean?
Not every day, no. Every time I dabble in Weet-Bix, I'll have a fair few. I like to eat them late in the evening.
Okay.
All right. My son, currently, he's 1.5. He's doing 2.5 a day. Mm-hmm. And I look at that and I go, I'm impressed. That's a good amount of Bix.
That is a good amount of Bix. Sean, how do you feel about how you construct your bowl? Can you talk us through construction?
Well, I'm going to have to disagree with everyone on this one because I like to crunch my Bix up.
Oh, the secret third option.
Yeah.
Because it is nice at the end when you start to get to, because it comes in two layers, right? Mm-hmm. And they're all stacked on top of each other. When you get to that bottom one, you do access all of the wheat that has crumbled down, and you just get that, and that just is mashy straight away.
Yeah, that's right, yep.
Wow, okay. So not vertical or flat, just crunched up.
Yeah, nice and crunched up. Even amount of milk over the lot of them. Beautiful.
Are you crunching them up with your hand, or are you getting a spoon and just like obliterating that as you get into it?
No, you just break them. Like, don't actually crunch them, squash my hand. Just break them into nice chunky bits.
In the bowl, I'm imagining you punching the bowl.
No, I'll destroy the bowl too.
Fair enough. Look, I'll give all these over the next few days.
You're going to have to try it.
Breakfast for my son organised. I will try all the different versions, but now it is street legal.
Yep.
We all have to be
crunching them up.
Crunching them up, Sean.
Yeah, sounds like a good idea to me.
There we go. Sean, Your Honour, thank you very, very much. Impressive that you do six a day. When you do Bix, that's impressive.
How many do you do when you usually...
I just have whatever's left over of my son. So it's probably one. I do 1/5 of a brick. That's why I'm not in Ironman's or Australia's Fast Bowler.
Tim and Jess, the podcast.
We were speaking about this a little bit earlier, but at least right now, Monday, which is going to be a public holiday for some people, it's going to be 39 degrees in Geelong.
Wow.
But it's going to be like, so it's like low 20s, 39, back down, like 20s. At least that's the forecast now. It always changes. But
right.
And we were discussing that's hot.
That is pretty hot.
39 is hot. I think it's time to allow something or to at least create more options. And it's probably something that has been brought up multiple times for maybe more white collar workers, I would say, and stereotypically males.
Oh, here we go.
Like, business shorts have got to, we need more options.
You're always pushing for business shorts.
I don't see, but they're not for me because I don't think I'd wear them.
Well, you wear shorts
all
the time.
I can just wear short shorts.
Yeah.
And short shorts, if you know what I mean. But for, because we work in town here in Geelong and there's a lot of government workers around and all I see is very appropriate business slacks or pants.
Absolutely.
Monday, what are you meant to do on a 39 degree day?
But this is, like, shorts is a slippery slope to, like, open-toed shoes. Like, are you rocking up to work in thongs?
I would say you can change, like, don't wear a high sock and, like, a dress boot with your business shorts. But, like, I think it, I'm not working in these big corporate industries. So maybe there is more of a, like, literally more leg room.
Are they a bit
room.
Lenient?
Is it more lenient now? Is this a 2005 conversation I'm bringing up because I'm not in that reality?
I also feel like, and I think a lot of people, especially in our building, Tim, do this. I dress for the conditions inside the building rather than outside.
It could be 40 degrees outside, but it's freezing in this building.
Always.
So I'll wear a puffer jacket on Monday when we come to work.
And you'll need it.
Yeah, because it'll be freezing in here. But I see, like, especially like around lunchtime when, you know, the hordes of council workers come to Westfield. They're staggered leaving time so that they're not all there at once. But I'm expecting to see a lot of hot legs, a lot of warm legs. And I'm not talking about cook chooks.
Obsessed with getting people's pins out. Like,
mate.
I've seen you yell at sales team members here, like, when are you going to wear shorts to work? Show me your legs.
They're all to men. I can't stress that. I know that it's still not okay that I'm saying that, but Steve in particular.
That's true.
He promised
me. It is basically Steve.
Because Steve works in sales, is an absolute legend.
Yeah.
And Steve wears a collared iron shirt every single day in slacks.
Looks like the most professional businessman every single day.
All I've ever wanted is to see his elbows and knees at the same time. And I don't think I'm asking for a lot. And he promised me last year, and I didn't get to see it.
Devastating.
But the last day that he was wearing casual clothes and he wore jeans and a leather jacket. Mm. And I was like, I'll take it.
Maybe Monday we finally see Steve's knees and elbows together.
Because I'm thinking about, I know where he lives, so I'm thinking about just staking out his place.
Could you imagine? He comes out to do some gardening in the front yard. He's wearing like a white singlet.
Again, this still does feel quite inappropriate. I think if we are going to try and maybe we need to fashion a pair of business shorts and give them to Steve.
I feel like
to
they
try
exist,
on.
Tim. I don't think we need to create them. It's not like we have to take a pair of slacks
You've
and
got a sewing
hack
machine.
At them with scissors.
You never use your sewing machine. This is a great opportunity and you're passing it up. So you don't want to make business shorts for Steve?
I feel like they exist.
All right. Well, I'm not buying them. So unless he's willing to mangle a pair of his slacks, then this is just, we're just yelling into the wind.
Do you
again.
Think HR will have something to say if we just take a pair of scissors to some of his slacks?
HR's already got a whole bunch of problems with me asking Steve to get his knees out. So yeah, we might as well pile that onto the meeting.
This is Tim and Jess.
I've mentioned a few times on the show that my husband and I have recently moved house.
Mm-hmm.
And we're having you and a few friends over next week to
housewarming.
Christen the house. I don't like saying housewarming because I move so often. I actually said to one of my best mates, I was like, please stop buying me gifts. Because
you're taking the piss.
Yeah, I don't want any more gifts. We've moved house a million times. We're probably going to move house a million more. Like, no more gifts. A housewarming, just want you guys to come over, experience our new backyard. It's really lovely.
Very secure, as we discovered yesterday after we got locked out of your house.
It's very secure.
Very secure house.
But it's become a pretty big deal in our house. And my husband's very excited to have you all over because he's just discovered, and I feel like when men reach a certain age, they have one of three hobbies. They usually get into golf, barbecuing, or fishing.
Right, the big three, yeah.
And I feel like my husband's really taken to barbecuing hard. He's really, really into it.
I mean, the one non-sport of the three that you did bring up.
What's the least physical thing I can do?
Right.
Barbecuing, excellent. Mm. And there's something that my husband does when he decides he wants to get into something. He goes like full 120%. No matter what it is, he will research. He will practice.
Well, I know for a fact he hasn't been researching fishing because he did say maybe we should get some fishing sticks. And it's not Huckleberry Finn.
No.
Rods is... Change the wording to fishing rods.
It's true.
And he calls golf clubs golf sticks.
Sticks as well.
What's his issue with sticks?
So he got his meat sticks out, the
tongs. Yeah, I was going to say his meat sticks.
We got him out last night because he said to me, we have to do a trial run before next week.
You need a practice barbecue.
I want to do a practice barbecue because I want to make sure that this barbecue is as good as it can be when our friends come over. And I really want to impress them because we've come over to both your house and our friend St. John's house for a barbecue before. And you guys have put on a great barbecue. So I feel he's feeling the pressure.
Nice. I don't remember.
This is a few years ago. Okay. But he is very ready to impress you guys. And I think he's going to go for some Nando's peri peri chicken.
Okay.
When you guys are over.
Well, the best thing about that is if it goes wrong, a quick trip to an actual Nando's, wherever they may be, can save you.
Well, they're within our menu log delivery now, so huge. That's very handy.
So if it tastes too good,
we'll know that it's there.
We're like, oh, don't bring up the chicken. Don't bring up who cooked the chicken.
I think we're having another practice in a couple of days just to make sure, but he's feeling very positive about it. And last night he spent over an hour cleaning the barbecue again.
I can't stress enough. You've got to clean it straight away.
Yes.
I know some people, because it's hard, you cook, it's all finally ready, everyone sits down, eats, and then you realize,
I said to him, just leave it. No, it'll be fine.
No.
He spent an hour cleaning it.
He clags it up.
He really wants to impress you guys on next week.
Okay. Well, I think this is good practice. I think everyone should, if you want to, I wouldn't invite a whole bunch of people over for dinner and then just try a meal that I've never cooked before.
So I think no matter how the meal turns out, I need you to tell my husband how amazing it is because he's put so much effort in.
He's not going to learn that way. So I'm not here for freebies.
So mean.
I'm not here for freebies. If he wants to do a better job, I'll let him know.
Oh, thanks, guys. You're the best.
That concludes another thrilling edition of the Tim and Jess podcast.